Good morning. This morning I want to talk to you about our relationship with God. This is our Thanksgiving service. This lesson is going to be on acting on how thankful you are. What do you do because of your thankfulness to God? If I were to ask you, what are you thankful for? I think many of us would say all the blessings that God has given to us, right? So I want to examine the thought of, how can I give back to God? All right. The biggest problem in the Bible is humans have been cut off from God. And the Bible teaches that God put no limit on rebuilding that ability to know Him. God shows us His heart with how much He wants us so badly that He wants us back. He stretches to no limit to reach and bring us back. Not that it weakens God if we don't. Our worship is not His source of power, but it is very clear He, like a loving parent, wants to see His children choose to love Him. So that brings up the point of our lesson. What is your relationship with God? This is a thought applicable to our guests here today, to our new members, to our longstanding members, to our leaders, as well as to our preacher. Today, let's define our relationship with God. Let's be honest about how close we really are to God, or maybe how far we've walked away from God. So I want to ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? I know at first this may not carry much weight or real impact. It's so familiar with us because we've heard it so many times, we tend to overlook it, to dismiss it. Oh, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. Not that it's uncomfortable, it's just we've heard it so many times. It's like walking into a Boston pub and saying, who cheers for the Boston Red Sox? You kind of know what the answer is going to be. So, you've dealt with it before, but I'm not asking you these questions. I'm not asking, do you go to services? I'm not asking, are your parents or are your grandparents Christians? I'm not asking, do you pray? I'm not asking, have you walked forward during a 12-minute version of Just As I Am? I'm not asking how many Bibles you own. I'm not asking if you're in the church directory. I'm not asking, did you grow up going to VBS or church camp? Or do you wear Christian clothes that proclaim, I follow Jesus? Here's the point. Many of us are quick to say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not sure we really understand what we're saying. To quote Indigo Montoya, I don't think that means what you think it means. The most sobering scriptures that we have are the ones that say those who say they are Christians, not all of them are what Jesus says is a Christian, a follower of Christ. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. And I don't want that to be said to anybody. So that's why I want to talk to you about this today. Defining the relationship. The DTR talk. How many of us know what that means? The define the relationship talk. The most common DTR talk, define the relationship talk, happens with dating, all right? For those of you who are married, you've had the talk. For those of you who are too young, the talk will come. For those of you who are dating right now, my lesson might speed that talk up a bit. DTR talk happens at each level. You have the DTR talk of, will we be boyfriend and girlfriend? That's defining the relationship. You have the going on to, are we going to be steady, going steady? Are we going to have engagement? That's defining the relationship. You also have the marriage, and again, that's defining the relationship. What is this relationship? Now, I know there are more DTR talks, but I think you get the point here. So what happens in those define the relationship moments? I think it sounds something like this. Honey, I'm so glad we got together. Yeah, me too, babe. Baby, I can't remember what I did before meeting you. Yep, me too. So, where's this going? What? Where's this relationship going? Well, I don't know, but I like things the way they are now. And that's sometimes where the relationship tends to end. Amen. That's what happens when God asks us to define the relationship sometimes. There are quite a few times in Scripture that Jesus asks people to define the relationship. Jesus asks quite a few people to answer this question, where is this going? John chapter 1, verse 35, this is where two of the 12 apostles meet Jesus for the very first time. And so you get that feel of that beginning, define the relationship. Where is this going? So they don't know Jesus. This is the first time they've talked to him. So they are simply seekers, just seeking out for the first time who this Jesus is. The next day, again, John was standing with the two of his disciples. He looked at Jesus as he was walking by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed him. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So he says, define the relationship. Come and see. Kind of the question is, are you a seeker who will follow and search? And the answer is yes or no. Some people may be at this stage of, I want to hear more about this Jesus. I want to come and see about what he is about. So the question is, will you go where Jesus is? In other words, will you go where you can learn about Jesus? Maybe my question to our guests here today is, will we see you back here again? The next level might sound like this. This is John chapter 6. Jesus is talking about he is the bread of life, and whoever wants to follow must eat the bread and drink of the cup, his body and his blood. And the people who are listening aren't really sure what to make of this. So in verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." After this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." The teachings of Jesus, as you get to know in your relationship, might become tough and difficult to understand, more difficult even to follow. They can be hard at times. This DTR talk brings the question, are we going to stick it out? We're starting to learn about the teachings of Jesus. Is it something we want to stay connected with? A lot of people come in seeking Jesus, but walking out thinking, it's not possible to be what Jesus wants me to be, what the Bible talks about. I can't even live up to the standard of what these really good people who meet here are at. I want to encourage you to stay a little bit longer. You'll see that we have our own problems, that the church is the place where people with problems are to come. Come and find people that say, we care about you, we want to help you. That's God's plans for the church to do anyways. So you stick around. What might be the next DTR talk, the Define the Relationship talk? What might that sound like? We get to Mark chapter 8, our reading. It might sound a little bit like this. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." You've gotten to know Jesus. You know his teachings. You know he says he wants you to follow this. The next DTR talk is, who is Jesus to you? You know what he says he is. Do you believe him? Is he a good man? Is he a good teacher with good teachings, good ideas? Or is he who he says he is? He does make some very strenuous claims of, if you don't believe this, you shouldn't believe the rest of what he says. He says that he is the Son of God. The Bible tells us he died for our sins and said, for this to work, I need you to give me the steering wheel of your life. That is to make him the Lord of your life. That all your decisions are based upon what would God have you do with your life? That's a lot to think about, letting someone else be in charge of your life, in charge of your decisions. It takes a very deep thought and a lot of commitment to do that. And yet, this isn't the end of the decision making. The DTR talks are not yet over, as great of a decision as this is. For those who have made that decision, there are two more to follow as well, to have. Jesus wants us to bring people to him. So the DTR talk is, will you carry out my plan? Will you follow what I ask you to do? Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Each day, Christians are asked to define the relationship. Am I the Lord of your life still today? Will you choose me this day and the next day and the next day? Yes, then do the work of a Christian. Do the work of a Christ follower. Go out and make learners of Jesus in the whole world. Baptize them in his name. A name carries with it all that represents that person. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Immerse yourself into what is in that name. And teach them to do all that Jesus taught. The DTR of keep going. Keep working. There's no point in time when a Christian retires from being a Christian, doing the works of a Christian. I want to move back to the story of the boyfriend who said, let's just keep things the way they are. I want to stay at this level because of how things are going. I really like how it's going. I just want to stay here. With Jesus, people often tend to think, it's okay if I just kind of stay here and just coast through, that I'm a Christian and I'm good enough now because I've made those decisions. Based on the DTR talks previously, I think that God would not be okay with us staying at one level. But we oftentimes think, I'm better than I've ever been. My commitment level is the highest it's ever been. I should stay here. Just like a dating relationship needs to grow or it will stop, we can't expect that we can stay the same as Christians. We need to keep growing. It's truthfully, we're going deeper or we're forgetting and walking away from God. Why is it important that we define the relationship? Because if we don't, we lose focus and we slowly become fans. What does a fan look like? It's the guy who goes to the game with no shirt and a painted chest, who sits on the stands and cheers for his team. He's got a signed jersey at home, multiple bumper stickers on his car of his team, but he's never been in the game. He's never breaks a sweat in the game. Or he's never taken a hit in the open field. He knows all the players by name. He knows their stats, but he doesn't know them as a person. He yells and cheers, but nothing is really required of him. No sacrifice to make. The truth is, excited as he is, if his team lets him down or they have an off season, he can go to another team. He can get another team because he is an enthusiastic admirer only. It's the woman who never misses the celebrity news show. She always picks up the latest People magazine. She's a huge fan of some actress who's the latest Hollywood hit. And she knows everything about this actress. Every movie that she's ever been in, the high school she went to. She knows her birthday, the name of her first boyfriend. She even knows the actress's original hair color that the actress has sadly long forgotten and is no longer sure of. She knows everything there is to know, but she doesn't know the actress. She's a huge fan, but she's just a fan. She's an enthusiastic admirer. These are not necessarily bad as long as they don't take us away from God, these actual things in life. But we can't be that with God. We can't just simply be a fan with God and following him and expect him to say, that's good enough. Truthfully, Jesus had a lot of fans and has a lot of fans. People who cheer him on but walk away or stand on the sidelines when something's asked for them. They're not in the game about it. People can know a lot about Jesus, but that only makes them fans. Jesus has never been interested in fans. The biggest threat to the church is people who call themselves Christians, but truthfully are simply fans who sit on the sidelines. People who don't do. So imagine this, all right? The DTR talk each and every one of us are facing. You go to a coffee shop, you grab a snack, you sit in a corner, and you're waiting for your guest to come, and then he comes. And it's Jesus. Before you have a chance for small talk, Jesus gets right to the point. He looks you right in the eyes and says, it's time to define the relationship. Where is this relationship going? He wants to know how you feel about him. Is your relationship a lasting one or a casual weekend-only thing where you're only here on Sundays? What exactly is your level of commitment to this relationship? Jesus doesn't sugarcoat what he wants from us. If we're honest with ourselves, what would your answer be? Your personal answer of your relationship with Jesus. There comes a time when we need to define the relationship. Have things moved past infatuation and admiration towards a deeper devotion and dedication towards God? And there's a need to evaluate your relationship with God. Why is it important? Why is it important that we define the relationship? For one thing, it drives you to seek and to know and experience that God relationship, to know God, not just be a fan. When we define the relationship, it draws people to be real Christians around us. They see us living the example, and they say, I want to be a part of that because I see real lives being changed. We'll be pushed to be more a part of the church, the body of Christ, the family of God, because we know what God expects of us, reading his word, knowing what it says. When we define the relationship, it will also push us to seek to right this world. We see the wrongs that are going on. To seek to right the world by making just one more Christian at a time. To bring in one more person to know about Jesus. To have that right relationship and to live the right life that God created us to have. This is almost a commercial, this next part. The purpose of defining the relationship and the church is to make God's body, aka the church, stronger. To build on what God planned. So what is that plan? Here's what I have. After we finish our Sunday morning clash of Colossians, I want to go into an in-depth study of what the Bible talks about of defining the church, what the church is supposed to be doing. And I want to invite every one of you to be a part of that. We'll be starting here in about a week or so. What does God want the church to be doing? So hopefully you'll join us for that. Jesus gave one more stage of define the relationship, the fallen away stage. This is how Jesus dealt with his friend who stabbed him in the back. This is Peter, who on the night that Jesus was crucified denied knowing Jesus at all. In verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you to where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, follow me. He brought him back into the fold. Peter thought, I am not worthy. I have denied Jesus the most blatant way. Jesus still brought him back. This is a define the relationship talk to those who think they've moved too far for God to say, I can forgive you, that you can't come back to God. Been too bad for God to say, I can let you in. You can follow my son. I can forgive you of your sins. This is for everyone who says, God doesn't know what I've done. God doesn't know the bad things that I have done in my life. He can't forgive me because of that. What stage of define the relationship are you at today? God asks you to define the relationship. So where are you in your walk? We welcome guests who want to know more about Jesus, know more about this Creator who came and loved them. We welcome you to come back, to be a part of our search for knowing Jesus, having that relationship with Jesus. We welcome anyone who wishes to go deeper in their relationship with Christ. The baptistry is always ready to define your relationship as you belong to Jesus. We also welcome back anyone who has said, I want to keep the relationship where it is before and wants to apologize and have the church pray over them for that mistake. How can you answer this question? During this next song, come down the front and tell me what you need from the church today. Please stand as we sing this next song.